We head now to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. His name is Greg Swartz. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Swartz BR. Does a phenomenal job covering the Cavaliers for Bleacher Report, and he joins me now. Greg, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Thanks for me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy day, crazy weekend in the NBA. Let's just get this out of the way first and foremost, Greg, because this is one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on. You floated. You didn't float. You just went through and you said, if Kevin Love is going to be dealt, here's a trade that would work. And, of course, I'll call him out. NBC Sports in Boston at NBCS Celtics takes it and runs with it. Yes, the Cavs are going to trade Kevin Love for Gordon Hayward. You were just spitballing a little bit. I don't think anybody expects that to happen. But let me ask you this. With the Kawhi news and now with things starting to settle down as far as free agency goes, how would you handicap the chances that Kevin Love is dealt within the next month or two?
I'm still going to say no. I think we need to find out what's going to happen with J.R. Smith first and foremost. He's got that August deadline coming up where his contract's going to become fully guaranteed. I mean, a lot of things have to happen for the Cavs. First off, they need to get under the luxury tax. They're about $12 million over the luxury tax. I know Dan Gilbert said he's willing to spend, but if for a team that won 19 games last year, you're not going to pay the luxury tax for that team. So I think we need to see what's going to happen with J.R. Smith. Are they going to waive him? Are they going to trade him? You know, likely if you're going to trade him, you're taking back another bad contract that's going to be of equal value. And then how do you get under that luxury tax line? You could take a guy like Brandon Knight and stretch his contract over the next 3 years where you essentially buy him out. He still gets his full salary, but you would pay his $15 million, $5 million, $5 million, $5 million over the next 3 years. That would save you $10 million. And you know, I mean, maybe financially you look at Kevin Love and say this is our only chance to get under that luxury tax threshold is if we find a good deal for him. We also need to see if Kevin Love is happy here. Is he going to ask for a trade? So far, he is not. But, you know, I think part of that was he had a really good buddy in the locker room in Channing Frye. You know, besides Tristan Thompson, you know, JR's gone. Obviously, LeBron's gone. Channing Frye's gone. James Jones is gone. Richard Jefferson's gone. You know, he's going to look around that locker room, and is he going to want to stay? I think he probably knew this was a possibility when he signed that four-year extension. So I hope they don't trade him, but certainly it's going to be a possibility, as it is most off-seasons, to move Love.
What do you think the market looks like for him, Greg?
I don't think it's very good. We had Rick Bucher wrote an article for Bleacher Report kind of by the trade deadline, and he spoke to a number of executives about what Kevin Love's value was. And, you know, they basically said, you know, it's tough for Love because he's so, you know, in today's NBA, he's probably best at center. He doesn't like to play center. He's injury prone, obviously. We know he's going to make $120 million over the next 4 years. He's not a good pick and roll defender, which is what, you know, a lot of teams are going to attack him when they're on offense. And, you know, obviously he brings a lot of good things to the table too, but the fact that he's making $30 million on a four-year contract, that's going to scare a lot of people. So a lot of the deals that, you know, when they ask me to find hypothetical Kevin Love trades, I kind of keep that in mind. And I say, you know, probably the best, if you're looking to get good value for Love, honestly, you're probably looking at maybe an expiring contract and a late first-round pick. I don't think you're going to get a lottery pick for him. I don't think you're going to get an elite young player. The hypothetical trade that you're referring to with Boston was, you know, Boston sending two first-round picks of their own back, and we would have to take Gordon Hayward's contract, which is 2 years and $67 million. I think something like that would make sense. Those picks would probably be in the 20s. You're not going to get a lottery pick. I just, for the Cavs, I don't think it's worth it to move him for that reason. I think he brings a lot of value to a team with a lot of young guards on it, especially after this year's draft. So depending on what you could get back for him, which I don't think would be a whole lot because of that contract and injury history, I think it would be best just to hold on to him.
Greg Swartz with me from Bleacher Report. What was your reaction to all the action Saturday morning? Kawhi Leonard alongside Paul George headed to the Clippers. The Clippers provide an absolute bounty of picks to make it worth the Thunder's while. I know it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way that Paul George signed that big deal last year, and then a year later he asked out, especially it being a small market like Oklahoma City. How did you react to all that?
Yeah, I found out at 4 a.m. when our three-month-old woke up. I checked my phone, and I'd say Kawhi Leonard to
Wait, Greg, is your 3 month old an NBA insider?
He's probably a better insider than a lot of the ones that claim to be on Twitter. Say that, not dropping any names. He was the reason I woke up, checked the phone. I think it happened around 2 a.m. or something. And I was, I saw, Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers. Okay, not surprised there. Joining PG-13. What? Paul George wasn't even a guy that was – there was no rumor about him potentially being traded. A guy with 3 years left on his deal that just signed a four-year max contract with Oklahoma City, who didn't even take a meeting with the Lakers, as many presumed he would do, being from the Los Angeles area. I was extremely surprised, kind of reading the ESPN reports about it, saying how Kawhi had contacted him about potentially teaming up, and then Paul George asking essentially to be traded on Wednesday and saying that he wanted to be traded to the Clippers. That's dangerous. It's a dangerous path that we're taking, that guys, we saw Anthony Davis ask out with essentially a year and a half left on his deal. And now we're seeing guys with 3 years left on their deal, essentially demanding a trade. Did Oklahoma City have to deal? No, they didn't have to. But, if you're going to have a disgruntled superstar there, and you already have one, in Russell Westbrook that certainly can have his mood swings as well, that wouldn't be a good recipe for success. So I was very surprised by the trade. I think Brian Windhorst said it, that we've never had a player traded for five first round picks before. So that was interesting. And I look at the Thunder, where the heck do they go from here? Do they rebuild around Russell Westbrook and try to bring in, a guy like Kevin Love or another veteran player and make a playoff push? Or do they look to trade Westbrook? It's, certainly this NBA offseason has been exciting. I don't think it's done yet.
No, I don't think so either. We're talking to Greg Schwartz from Bleacher Report. You just think about where Sam Presti is right now. Sure, great, he's got a boatload of picks, but by the time any of those guys are drafted and then developed, that's about, 7-10 years? That gets a GM fired. I mean, he's going to have to make some real decisions right now. The latest intel is that Russell Westbrook now is potentially asking his way out of town. Look, people have talked about it. Greg, what do you think about the idea of sending them some cap relief? Maybe Colin Sexton bringing Russell Westbrook here.
I think it's interesting. When the idea first came to my mind, I immediately thought no. Like, just with the fact that he's going to be 31 years old, the fact that he's still in that five-year, $206 million contract. He's got about 4 years and $171 million. It averages $42 million a year. The last year is a player option, but it's $47 million when he's going to be 34. Obviously, he's going to pick that up. There's no way he opts out of that and turns that down. He's not going to make $47 million on the open market at that age. So immediately, I want to say no, but I look at it, and you look at the free agent class next year when the Cavs have cap space. There's not a lot of good free agents. Anthony Davis is the best. He's not coming to Cleveland. He's almost certainly going to sign a five-year, $250 million deal with the Los Angeles Lakers. And who else do you sign? Who else do you use that cap space on, I guess, is what I ask. And how far could a Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook team take you? Especially, you have a young core that could help elevate that if you get something out of Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, if you don't have to include him in the trade. Are you a top five team in the East? You're not a championship level team, so I don't know if that's worth it, but it would certainly be more interesting to cover the Cavs. But I think if it comes down to it, I would say no, I would pass on Westbrook. Now, if they want to include Steven Adams, we can talk that way, but I think that would cost you far more. I don't know what the trade market is for Russell Westbrook. I don't know how many teams would be willing to pay him $42 million a year for the next 4 years. Obviously, he's talented. He's led the NBA in assists the last 2 years. 4 years in a row, he's averaged over 10 assists a game, but he's also not even made 30% of his three-pointers the last couple of years, and we've seen him. The shot selection is terrible. I don't think it's a coincidence that Kevin Durant left him and Paul George asked to leave him to go join Kawhi Leonard. I don't think it's a coincidence, and, if it comes down to it, I think I'd pass on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it's so weird because, he's obviously a superstar caliber player, but the warts are on display for all of us to see, and you can see it. And You know, whether or not Durant, I think we probably kind of all sided with Westbrook when Durant left because it felt like he sort of cheaped his way out of town and joined up with the winners. But, you know, James Harden, yeah, he was traded, but I'm not sure James Harden was crazy about playing with Russell Westbrook. It's difficult to play with Russell Westbrook, and when you throw the money in and the age, there just isn't that much of a market, I don't think. What about Miami? That was where my head went at first, was Jimmy and Russell Westbrook. That might be a really interesting pairing of both attitudes and both games on the floor, but I think that's kind of my first guess, is Pat Riley likes stars and just get the superstar talent in and then figure it out afterward.
I could see it, especially you got Goran Dragic there in the last year. His deal making $19 million. There's an expiring deal. They've got Myers Leonard, the other guy who's making like $11 million who's expiring. I mean, it depends what would Oklahoma City want back. I mean, I don't think it's kind of like the Kevin Love situation. You have a really talented player who, you know, is already 30 years old and is making a lot of money. Westbrook's been a little bit more durable than Love has. But again, you know, I think Love, you can plug him in next to any star in the NBA, and he's going to do just fine. Like, he's a good shooter. He's a good rebounder. He's a good complimentary piece. You can put him beside anybody. You can't put Russell Westbrook beside just anybody. He's extremely ball dominant. He takes a lot of bad shots. I don't even know how that would work personality-wise with Jimmy Butler. I think Jimmy Butler is perfectly fine being the leader of a seventh or eighth seed in the East. I think he's perfectly fine with that. If he wasn't, why would he go to Miami when he looks at the rest of that roster? I think maybe Detroit makes some sense. If you're a team that's not going to attract a lot of free agents, you're kind of cap-strapped already. You have Blake Griffin. You have Andre Drummond, you kind of need a dynamic point guard like that. So I could see maybe Reggie Jackson, some salary filler, and a pick for Westbrook. I could see that. That maybe elevates the Pistons to a top four or five seed in the East. But again, I don't know what the market is for Westbrook, but I don't think Oklahoma City could get a whole lot back for him.
Yeah, speaking from experience, I would expect Reggie would need to be part of the trade if the Pistons are trading for Russell Westbrook. No love lost between Westbrook and Reggie. I'll get you out of here on this. Greg Swartz with us from Bleacher Report. It feels like the Clippers are probably the favorites for next year. Maybe the Lakers. You got the Bucks. You got the Sixers. How many teams do you think actually could win a championship next year? I mean, it feels like it's way more wide open than it's been in a long time. I'm sure the league is ecstatic about that. How many teams could you see winning the championship next year?
Wow, that's a great question. If you would have asked me that last year, I would have said one.
Exactly.
After DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Warriors. And, you know, going into the season, it kind of seemed a little boring. You know, obviously injuries kind of changed that, and the Raptors, good for them, pulled it off. You look at the East, I mean, Milwaukee certainly, I think, is going to be right up there. Yeah, they lost Malcolm Brogdon, but they brought everybody else back. Giannis is not even in his prime yet, so I think the Bucks are definitely a championship contender. 76ers, if they can get some shooting, I think could be up there again. The Nets in 2 years, I think, could win the title with the healthy Kevin Durant. I think Boston and Indiana are going to be good. I don't think they're championship contenders. But you look at the West, I mean, who are you going to rule out? Who are you going to definitely say is not going to win a title?
Memphis and Phoenix.
State, Denver,
that's all I got.
Portland. Well, yeah, but out of like Golden State, Denver, Portland, Houston, Utah, L.A., either L.A. team. I mean, what team do you look at that and say, yeah, you're definitely not winning it? You can't say that. You really can't. All those teams were either really good last year or have had a really good offseason or both. I don't even know that I can pick a favorite in the West. I think if you're going to go with the Clippers, they have to get a little bit more size. You're probably going to have to play Paul George at shooting guard, quiet, small forward, and then you need a four. All these teams, I think they're maybe like one piece away from being the dominant favorite. If Klay Thompson was healthy all year, I'd probably still put Golden State number one. But the fact that they're not going to have him till February, if you have to pick a favorite right now, I'd probably pick Milwaukee just because they won 60 games and they're bringing back most of that roster. But there's probably seven or eight teams in the West that not only could win the West, could win an NBA championship. I think that makes the league really exciting.
Yeah, and continuity is so important. I mean, if Golden State were healthy, I think I would pick them just because. And sure. You mentioned it, Milwaukee. I think I like Philadelphia in the East just because Horford is going to slide in, and I don't think he'll be, you know, it's not difficult to play alongside Al Horford, but it's going to be a really, really fun season. I think it's great for the league that the talent is a lot more spread out. And, yeah, I went through yesterday, Greg. I picked 10, 12 teams, and I said, you know, if things broke the right way, I could see this team winning the championship. And certainly that's good stuff for the NBA. Greg, appreciate the time. Good stuff from you, as always. And we'll catch up soon, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he is, Greg Swartz. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. It's at Greg Swartz BR, and he does a phenomenal job covering the Cavs and has for quite a long time on the Cavaliers beat.